it's really kind of hard to discuss other religions without judgment. But if we come off as judgy, we close the door to followers of other religions who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. Our response to non-Christian religions should be intelligent, and we need to be careful that our language isn't coded with prejudice. I'm embarrassed by some of the bigoted tone some Christians have taken in response to Islam. For instance, I have heard people call Muslims Moslems or Muslims. I remember two American presidents who repeatedly said Muslims. It took pressure from the Islamic groups to get us to stop saying Muslim. M-O-S-L-E-M Muslim and M-U-S-L-I-M Muslim are two very different words. English speakers have no clue what they're saying, but people who speak Arabic know the difference. Muslim in Arabic means one who submits himself to God. In contrast, Muslim in Arabic means one who is evil and unjust. To use Muslim in this day and age is considered racist. Most of us don't mean to come off as prejudice, and most of our prejudices come from ignorance. Here's a common ignorant prejudice. All Arabs are Muslims. Many Arabs are actually Christians. After 9/11, people who even looked remotely Arab were looked upon with suspicion. All you had to do is just look a little bit Middle Eastern. At the Wheaton Church, an Indian family was constantly confused with Arabs because their skin tone was similar. If you just took 1 second to look at them, you would know they were Indian and not Arab. The mom of the family actually wore a sari and not a burqa. These are very different pieces of clothing. But that didn't put a dent in some people's stupidity. As Christians, we must make the most of what we know about Islam. The Bible tells us to make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Last week, I talked about the Muslim community's no-nonsense approach in training their children. A conversation with a Muslim that includes your knowledge of the Quranic injunction that parents are to throw themselves between their children and the gates of hell would get your foot in the door. Here's another fact that we should make the most of, and this might surprise you. Muslims respect Jesus. Many imams even say that Jesus was exceptional. Muslims are especially intrigued with the Sermon on the Mount. Amazingly, they do believe in Jesus' virgin birth. According to the Quran, Jesus spoke while he was still in the cradle. The Quran tells us that he said, "From the cradle, Allah has made me a prophet." Muslims believe Jesus ascended into heaven, and they do believe he will come back to defeat the Antichrist. Did you know that? Here's where Islam and Christianity part ways. Muslims do not believe Jesus was the Son of God, nor do they believe he is deity. But our Holy Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was God, calling him the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Muslims do not believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. They do not believe Jesus rose from the dead. They do not believe Jesus is the way to heaven. Each one of these beliefs are essential teachings of Christianity, and Muslims do not hold to any of these beliefs, and we do. Muslims teach that Jesus was only a prophet. The Quran reads, "The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was no more than a messenger before whom many messengers have passed away." Quran 5:75. We Christians believe that Jesus was much more than a prophet. While trying to find an open door with Muslims, we have to be careful not to compromise or equivocate on the doctrines of Christ. In our conversations, we must always esteem him as God. Now, Muslims believe that Muhammad was a greater prophet than Jesus. In Islam, the later you come on the scene, the greater you were. According to Islam, Adam was the first prophet, which made him the least or the lesser of the prophets. Moses was the 15th prophet, so he's greater than Adam, but lesser than Jonah, who was the 20th prophet. In Islam, Jesus comes in at number 24. He is greater than all the prophets who came before him, but not the one who came after him. And this one is number 25. And guess who that is? That's right, Muhammad. Muhammad in Islam is the greatest or the last prophet. There will be none to come after him. In Islam, Jesus plays second fiddle to Muhammad. We've got to be able to form an intelligent argument against Muhammad being greater than Jesus. In order to do this, we have to compare the two. Jesus was a man of compassion. He often put his hands on people to heal them of their diseases. He insisted we love each other and our enemies. He taught us to forgive each other with tender hearts. Muhammad was a man of animosity. He often put his hands on people to kill them. He insisted his followers shove their values and views down the throats of others. Fight those who do not believe in Allah, Quran 9:29. He taught that there is no forgiveness for infidels. And who is an infidel? Well, you are, and I am. Jesus, on the other hand, is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Jesus died and rose from the dead. Muhammad died and he stayed dead. Jesus fought only one time, and that was for a good reason. He was fighting against the money changers in the temple. Muhammad fought many, many times, and most of the reasons he fought was for self-promoting reasons. Jesus never killed anyone. He only raised people from the dead. Muhammad killed many. Jesus received his calling directly from God in broad daylight, in front of witnesses. Muhammad received his calling from a demonic angel in the darkness of a cave with no witnesses. Jesus performed many miracles. Muhammad's only miracle was the Quran. You might be asking, well, how is the Quran a miracle? Muhammad felt the Quran was a miracle because no one else was able to produce anything like it, which is a fact, Jack. From a literary standpoint, the Quran is very impressive. Muhammad was an arrogant man. He didn't make a serious effort to study the scriptures. He would make all kinds of excuses saying, well, I don't have a copy of the scriptures, but he knew right where he could find one. Christians and Jews had scriptures in their communities, but he was too proud to go to them and ask. The Bible, on the other hand, portrays Jesus as humble. Philippians 2, 6 and 8 says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Muhammad preached for 20 years. Islam spread by the edge of the sword. Many people became Muslims in the early days just to avoid bodily harm or death. Jesus only preached for 3.5 years, and his message was spread throughout the ancient world through the 12 disciples who were sent out with just their message. If their message was not received, they left. They didn't harm anybody. They didn't kill anybody. These two methods are two polar opposites. Christianity is spread by love and choice. Islam is spread by sword and force. Muslims and some Christians are willing to die for their faith, but many Muslims are willing to kill for it. Jesus fulfilled biblical prophecy. Muhammad didn't fulfill prophecy except for the ones about being a false teacher. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for many. Muhammad just saved his own hide many times. The Bible says that Jesus never sinned. In several places, the Quran said that Muhammad did sin. Quran 48, 1 and 2, Allah forgives Muhammad's past and future shortcomings. Jesus didn't own any slaves, but Muhammad did. Jesus was virgin-born, and Muhammad was not. Jesus held women in high regard. Muhammad said women were, at best, half as smart as men, and that most of the people who end up in hell will be women. Muhammad encouraged the rape of captured women to subjugate them. Jesus had compassion on women, especially the woman caught in adultery. he held the man just as guilty as the woman. Muhammad had men caught in compromising situations released, and the woman was stoned, even if she was innocent. Jesus said in the face of the most horrifying torture, "Father, forgive them." Muhammad had anyone who merely insulted him killed. Jesus died with nothing, not even the shirt on his back, and Muhammad died very wealthy. On the bright side, Jesus and Muhammad both believed in marriage. After his first wife died, Muhammad married at least 12 more women and girls. One of his wives was only 6 years old at the time of marriage, and at this point, Muhammad was 50. He wanted to consummate his relationship with little Aisha, and he waited till she was 9. At least that's what he said. Jesus wasn't married to anybody, let alone a child. Jesus spoke out against anyone who would harm a little one. Being sexually intimate with a child is harmful and horrifically immoral. Muhammad's idea of paradise and Jesus' idea of paradise and how you get there are very different. Jesus has one sure way to get there, and that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. According to Muhammad, two dark angels will visit you as you lay in your grave, and they will ask you, "Who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is your prophet?" If you don't give the right answers, you've just bought yourself a one-way ticket to hell. Even if you do give the right answers, paradise is never a sure thing because Allah is very moody. There's only one way to be sure of paradise, and that's to die in a jihad. I'm sure you've all heard that men who die in a jihad get 72 virgins in paradise. There has been an attempt by Western Muslims to downplay this Islamic tenet, and sometimes they'll deny it outright. Despite their objections, this is found in the Quran. The Quran doesn't specify the number 72, but other Islamic texts do. The Quran says that those who fight in the way of Allah and are killed will be awarded with virgins in paradise. The Quran describes these young virgins as having large eyes and frontal parts that will never sag, if you catch my drift, ladies. What happens to these girls after they are no longer virgins? According to a Muslim theologian, the young women's virginities are renewed every morning. Sounds fun. Jesus makes no such promises. He tells us, in fact, that we will be non-sexual, like the angels in heaven. This might disappoint some of us, but it cannot be denied that Jesus' paradise is preferable to Muhammad's. In Muhammad's paradise, half the human race will be used and abused by the other. In Jesus' paradise, men and women are equal and pure. In Muhammad's paradise, half the human race suffers. In Jesus' paradise, there is no suffering for anyone. There is only joy and beauty, peace and happiness that will never end. Jesus and Muhammad couldn't be any more different in how they lived, in what they said, and what they taught others to do. The Quran tells its readers to look to Muhammad and do as he did. Quoting from the Quran, "Muhammad is the most beautiful pattern of conduct and example for mankind to follow, as well as the exalted standard of character." Quran 33:21. The problem is, Muhammad was a slave owner. He had no limits on his sexual behavior. He was a thief and a murderer. It seems to me that we don't really want to follow his example. Christians are told to look at Jesus and do what he did. Quoting now from the Holy Bible, "Walk even as he walked." Jesus walked through this life doing good, touching people, healing people, loving them, showing them compassion. He was the embodiment of purity and goodness and holiness. Doing as Jesus did is good. Comparing the evidence, it is clear Jesus is the better prophet. Is it possible to convince a Muslim that Jesus is the better prophet? It's not easy, but it can happen. Which one is more likely to convert to the other religion, a Muslim or a Christian? Well, according to statistics, approximately 100,000 total Christians have converted to Islam. I know a young woman when she was about 18 years old. She was from my Sunday school class. Shows what a Sunday school teacher I was. But she converted to Islam and married a Muslim man. About 2 years into the thing, she knew she was in trouble. And to this day, I don't know if she ever got free, because she had a baby with this guy, and she was tied to him, and I don't know if she ever made it out. But these people, some Christians, will convert to Islam. However, approximately 2 million Muslims convert to Christianity every year. 2 million of them are converting every year. That's astonishing. So the answer is, Muslims are more likely to convert to Christianity than the other way around. The testimony of Nabil Qureshi is one of the most powerful Muslim to Christian conversion stories in modern days. Nabil was born into a devoted Muslim family, and he never imagined he would convert to Christianity. He wasn't being rebellious. He was just an honest seeker. You know, in Christianity, our kids tend to be a little rebellious, right? And they reject Christianity. But in the Muslim household, that doesn't usually happen. So Nabil was kind of a strange. He was kind of an oddity. But Nabil just wanted the truth. And he realized that some of the things he was being taught didn't sync up. Nabil was born in 1983 into a devout Muslim family. His parents were loving, disciplined, and deeply committed to Islam. He was trained to intellectually challenge Christianity. You see, Islam was not casual in their home. Like a lot of us, Christianity is casual in our homes. We might say a prayer before lunch, but that might be the end of it. Not in the Qureshi home. In the Qureshi home, Islam was everything. Nabil grew up praying and fasting and memorizing Islamic teachings, and he passionately loved Allah. He was a morally upright young man. But things started to change for him when he went to college and he met this Christian guy by the name of David Wood. David wasn't afraid of a debate, and he began, after he befriended Nabil, to debate him. For the first time, Nabil encountered a Christian who knew what he was talking about, and this disturbed him because Nabil didn't want Christianity to be true. And he was terrified in the pit of his stomach that it could be. Because he valued truth, he decided to follow whatever was true, even if it happened to be Christianity. So he began an investigation into Islam and Christianity. What he found shook his world. As Nabil studied Islam, he discovered serious historical and theological problems. But what really shook him was Muhammad's deep immorality. And that thing about marrying a six-year-old really bothered him. And that's when Islam started to collapse. Yet, leaving Islam felt impossible. Converting to Christianity would mean losing everything, including his family. He would pay a very high price. At times, the emotional pain was unbearable. He begged God, "Please don't let Christianity be true." But the truth does not bend to our personal desires. While he was struggling, Nabil began experiencing powerful dreams, and these dreams were pointing him right to Jesus Christ. In one dream, he saw a narrow path leading upward, and Jesus was at the end of it. In another dream, he heard the words, "Jesus is the truth." You see, God was speaking to him, whether he was awake or sleeping. After years of struggle, research, and tears, Nabil reached his breaking point. His research overwhelmingly supported the truth of Christianity. In 2005, Nabil Qureshi surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. It wasn't a moment of celebration. In fact, it was a moment of grief. But it was also a moment of peace. He went on to write the book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He became a bold witness to Muslims around the world. In 2016, Nabil was diagnosed with aggressive stomach cancer. Even in his suffering, his faith remained unshaken. On September 16, 2017, Nabil Qureshi went to heaven to be with Jesus and not Muhammad. His voice fell silent, but his final words still ring around the Muslim world even today. Jesus is worth everything. Just give me Jesus.